I don't wish to waste my life on futile matters. On the whisper of mist that is most men's days. For those who do, I say, do not concede to that of stone. The fight that is before us is but the calling to awaken one's soul. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in us all.
Well, good morning. I don't know if you all have picked up on this or not up until this point, but we strategically chose to launch and introduce that song during this series. Because when you really look at those words, and especially the bridge in that song, it points out this reality. That we don't just have a God who's a champion in our lives and in our world, but we have a God who infiltrates our lives and brings the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead into our lives and in our circumstances and makes us a champion as well. Isn't that incredible hope and incredible power that we have to stand on in our lives in the midst of what we face every single day in the world we live in? You see, today we bring to a close this series that we have been calling Warrior with our fourth and final week. And if you've missed the series up until this point, this entire series revolves around this ridiculously simple and yet incredibly challenging fact in every single one of us. You see, here at CORE, we believe with all of our hearts that every single one of us was created with the heart of a warrior. And we don't say that just because it's something cool to do a series around. No, we say it because we believe that every single person in this room, man, woman, child, no matter what your past says about you, no matter what circumstances you're walking through right now, every single one of us was created in the image of our Heavenly Father. And you know one of the ways in which our Heavenly Father is described? As a mighty warrior. And so if we are created in that image, you know what that means? Every single one of us have a piece of that inside of us as well. And yet, that warrior inside of every single one of us that is just beckoning to come out, allowing it to break loose is easier said than done. The reason for that is because some of us in this room have pushed that warrior aside for many years. For others of us, we have grown accustomed to the circumstances that just keep beating us down. And we've begun to believe somewhere along the way that it's just downright impossible to fight and win the battles that this life throws at us. And yet for some of us still, we never even knew that a warrior was possible. We had no idea we were created with this heart of a warrior that is just beckoning to come out. But no matter what boat you fall in this morning, the truth remains the same. We've all been given someone to protect. We've all been given a kingdom to advance. And we've all been given a battle to win. Every single one of us in this room is a warrior, and it's time to let it loose. You see, in my life, one of the greatest examples that I had growing up of a warrior, maybe like many of you, was my father. When I looked at my dad as a little boy, as many little boys do, we see a superhero, don't we? And my dad was the ultimate man's man. He loved to fish, he loved to hunt, he loved everything, sports. My dad was an independent sales rep, and so every dollar he earned was fought for. And I witnessed time and time again the life of my dad as a young boy into a young man. My dad fighting for our spiritual well-being and fighting for our faith. I watched my dad fight tooth and nail as a volunteer, not in full-time ministry, as a volunteer fight tooth and nail for the betterment of the local church, because he believed in the power of the local church and that the hope of the world lied in this building, preaching the hope and the truth of Jesus Christ out into a hurting and broken world. I watched my father day after day fight for the things that were most important and fight for the things that mattered most in his marriage and in his finances and in our lives. And what I came to realize is this, is that because of my dad's drivenness and because of his expectations of success upon himself and those expectations of success that ultimately carried down to us as his kids, it became incredibly hurtful for me to walk through moments of life in which I felt like I had let my father down. Anybody else been there before? that there is someone you look up to, someone you respect, and in the moments of life in which you let that person down, it carries a whole lot of emotional and mental hurt with it. And as many incredible stories and incredible moments as I have with my dad, what I also recognize is this, is there were plenty of moments that weren't so enjoyable. Moments in which I knew I had disappointed my father. Moments in which I knew I had made poor decisions that had let him down, that had broken that trust, in which he expected more and wanted more from me. And along the way, every single time that I let my father down and I disappointed him, what ultimately happened in my life and my heart was this, is there was a wound created. There was a small wound in my heart and on my life that was created in the moments in which it was obvious to my father that I had disappointed him. That verbally or through body language, he let me know that I did not live up to the expectations. In fact, there's this author named John Eldridge that acknowledges this fact that every single one of us walked through in our early lives. That we walk through as we disappoint the people around us, and ultimately it creates scars and wounds in our lives. And this morning, I want to start off by sharing this with you. The quote from his book, Wild at Heart, is going to come up on the screen for you. And in this particular passage, John writes this. Every boy, in his journey to become a man, takes an arrow in the center of his heart, in the place of his strength. Because the wound is rarely discussed and even more rarely healed, every man carries a wound. And the wound is nearly always given by his father. You see, last week we acknowledged this fact in every single one of our lives that we have this tendency to listen to the voice of fear. And yet what we didn't bring to the surface last week is this truth. Is that every time the voice of fear starts to creep up in our life, it has a creation place. It has something that has caused that fear in our life. And you know what the typical cause of fear is? Wounds. The wounds we have previously gotten in our lives lead to the voice of fear in our future. Because we look back on those moments in which we have failed, in which the circumstances of our lives have wounded us, and we make this conclusion. I don't want to walk through that again. Am I right? I don't want to experience that pain again. I don't want to make that mistake again. I don't want to fail in that way again. And when we experience those wounds and it leads to fear, that voice rises up and it says this. Well, then just don't do it again. Don't go there again. If you don't want to be wounded, if you don't want to be hurt, if you don't want to fail again, then just don't take a risk like that ever again. And this wound is ultimately what creates the fear that holds us back in every facet of our life. And while John paints a clear picture of the wound us as young men, as boys, begin to experience when it comes to our fathers. I figured I'd wait until after Father's Day to bring that one to the surface. There is this reality that every single one of us in this room are wounded. Every single one of us, man, woman, or child, has wounds we carry with us from our past. Sometimes it's father to son. But it's more than that. Sometimes it's mother to daughter. Sometimes it's boss to employee. Sometimes it's friend to friend. Every single one of us have been wounded by what somebody else has said to us or what somebody else has done to us. And while those wounds in our lives, some of us walking through wounds in this moment that are very fresh, while those wounds in our lives tend to hold us back, in the face of those wounds, every single one of us have two imperative questions that we must answer when it comes to those wounds. The first question is this: will I heal from them? Will I take the necessary steps to heal from those wounds that have been created in my past? Because if we don't, guess what? It will continue to create the voice of fear that speaks louder and louder every single time we encounter one of those same situations. Will I take the time to heal from that wound? And secondly, Will I be a person who perpetuates the wounds in this world by the things that I say to other people and the things I do to other people? Will I be a wound creator because of the wounds I've experienced in my past? You see, here's what's crazy. The way in which we answer those two questions will not just dictate our futures, it will also dictate the futures of the people we love. Hello. You want to talk about some weight? You want to talk about some responsibility as a warrior? The way in which we answer those two questions, will I heal from the wounds of my past, and will I be a giver of wounds by the things I say to people and do to people, will not just dictate our future, the futures of the people you love, the future of the person who lies in the same bed as you every single night, the future of the people who sleep in one room over from you, will be dictated by the way in which you answer that question. Don't believe that that's true? We don't have to do anything but go back in time and see that story play out again and again from the past to know that that is a reality in our lives right here, right now in 2021. You see, when we go back to God's instruction manual, God's love letter, God's word for our lives, we see two distinct stories that answer those two questions in two very different ways. And the way in which they answer those questions not only dictate their future, but they dictate the future of the people around them. One of the stories that we're going to read this morning is a sad story. A story that leads to brokenness and further dysfunction in the lives of people that love each other. One story is a story of positivity. A story that leads to a warrior rising up and being what he was called to be. It leads to healthiness. It leads to someone following the path that they were created to follow in their life. See, the first story that we're going to read this morning comes in the life of a guy named David. Many of us have heard the story of King David. But a small piece of King David's story that we may not have heard of is the story in the life of David and three of his children. You see, David had many wives, and from those many wives, he had many children. But there's this one story that we find in the book of 2 Samuel about David and three of his kids, Absalom, Amnon, and Tamar. And what we know very early about this story is this. Absalom and Amnon are half-brothers. They come from different mothers. And they have a sister by the name of Tamar. And very early in this story, Amnon becomes obsessed with his sister Tamar, with her beauty, with her elegance, and he decides, I have to have her at all costs. And so he takes matters into his own hands, and he rapes his sister. And from that, his half-brother Absalom catches word of what's taken place, and he becomes absolutely furious. He is infuriated by the actions of his brother and the dysfunction that's been introduced to his family because of the poor choices that he has made. And in the aftermath of him and his father, David, learning of the heinous act that his brother has done, Absalom becomes angry and bitter even more when he learns that David hasn't done enough to punish his half-brother. And because of his anger and the wound that has been created there in multiple different ways, not only the anger with his half-brother, but now the anger and the wound from his father, that you didn't step in and do what you should have done. You didn't punish him in the way you should have punished him. Absalom decides to take matters into his own hands. And one night, there's a party in the palace. And Absalom learns that his brother Amnon has become drunk. He is disillusioned, and he has no idea what's going on. And he has made his way to his bed chambers, and Absalom gathers a few of his trusted soldiers, and he whispers to them, go kill him. And so he sends his soldiers, and they do as their boss instructs. And Absalom has his half-brother Amnon killed. And when David, the father, learns of what Absalom has done, David decides, because of what you've done and the vengeance and the wrong way that you have taken on your brother, you are abolished from the kingdom. And he takes his beloved son, Absalom, the prince, and he kicks him out of the nation of Israel. But after years have passed, David still feels this love in his heart for his son Absalom, and he decides to invite him to come back into the kingdom and to live in the kingdom. And we pick up this part of the story in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24, the story goes like this. But the king gave this order: Absalom may go to his own house, but he must never come into my presence. So Absalom did not see the king. In this moment, David says, all right, he's been abolished. He's not living the life of a prince. I don't want to do that to my son. There's still consequences for your action, but you can come back. You can have your own palace, but you aren't to enter into my presence. And I'd like to say that this was the first step in an ending of a story in which there was healing. But it isn't. I'd like to say that this story ended in such a way that David and Absalom were reunited, and David fell on his knees before his son and apologized for not taking the necessary steps to punish Amnon and what he did to his daughter Tamar. I'd like to say that Absalom came before his father and apologized for taking the steps too far in his vengeance against his brother. And there should have been consequences, but murder wasn't the right answer. But none of those things happened. Absalom comes back into the kingdom. And because the wound in his heart has not been healed, Absalom decides to make his way throughout the nation of Israel and to get out onto the streets with the people, and one by one, to begin to convince them to turn against their king David. And he begins to make promises of how he'll do things differently for them and how he'll be a better ruler than they are. And one by one, the kingdom begins to turn against David and towards Absalom. And all of this brews to an ugly head in which there is a civil war. Absalom and his army against his father David and his army. And before this war ensues, David gathers his trusted commanders and he says, I have one instruction for you. Take it easy on my son. I love him with all of my heart. But his commanders don't listen. In the heat of battle, they lay chase to his son Absalom. And what we know about Absalom is he was this beautiful prince with this long flowing hair. And as he was riding through the thick woods, as these soldiers were laying chase to him, the story goes that Absalom and his long, thick hair got caught in the tree branches as he was going through, and he got stuck in the woods. And there were a few commanders that came up to Absalom, and the instructions were, you're just supposed to escort him, take him captive, and bring him back to the palace. But they took matters into their own hands. And they decided in that moment, David's number one in command took three spears and at the same time shoved all three into the heart of Absalom, killing him. And when David heard the news that his son had been murdered in war, this was David's response. In chapter 18, verse 33, the king was overcome with emotion. He went up to the room over the gateway and burst into tears. And as he went, he cried, oh, my son Absalom. My son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. And there was this incredible grief, this incredible brokenness, this reality in this moment that our lives, our family, our future did not turn out the way we intended it to turn out. Our dreams as it pertains to our family did not come to fruition. In fact, it went away. It was never supposed to go. And in this very story, because of the way David and Absalom answered those two questions, will I choose to heal or will I pass on wounds to others by the things I do and the things I say? This truth comes to the surface that rings true in every single one of our lives. And it's this. Every wound will sabotage every dream if left unhealed. In your life and in my life, every wound will sabotage every dream if left unhealed. When the wound isn't healed, It will drive us to do things emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, in our own lives, for our own health, that we were never meant to do. But the wound doesn't stop there. The wound also carries over into the ways in which we interact with other people, the things we say to other people, the way we treat other people. That I have been handed this lot in my life, and I have been treated this way by someone I respect, and we perpetuate the generational cycle. Here's what I mean by that. We think it's okay to then turn around and treat the people who trust us in the exact same way. It's what my father did to me, and so it's what I'll do to my son. And when my son gets it from me, guess what he's going to do? He's going to do it to his son. And then it will be done to your grandson and your great-grandson and your great-great-grandson. It's this cycle that we perpetuate, and it's all birthed out of one wound that we didn't properly heal. But there is another option. There's another side of the coin that we have a choice in this matter to follow. Now, other option we find in the life of another father-son combo in this book. It's the story of God the Father and His Son Jesus. And there's this moment that we pick up in the New Testament in which Jesus is being baptized. It's His coronation into ministry. In fact, much of what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John follows 3 years. Moment from baptism to resurrection. That's really the bulk of the story we read about the life of Jesus. But there is this moment in which Jesus is being baptized, and it's this launching pad into His ministry. And from the day He's baptized, every path from that day forward is leading to one brutal place. A cross. That's where the path is leading. And every choice He makes determines whether or not He lives out His mission. And when every path is leading to a brutal, embarrassing death, and every choice dictates whether you reach the mission that your Father has given you that's leading you to that horrible place, can you imagine how difficult it would be to say yes to every right choice along the way? But somehow Jesus did. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself asking the question, yeah, He was 100% God, but He was also 100% man. And He battled the same temptations we did. And we see Him falling on His knees in the garden, begging with His Father, if there's any way You could take this cup from me and not let me go through this, would You just allow that to happen in this moment? We see this battle inside Jesus that still rages between right and wrong, between His mission and following what would be easiest in the world. How did Jesus become the warrior that He was created to be? The answer is simple. Because what He received from His Father, the words that were passed on to Him, is what every single one of us need to become the warrior we were created to be. See, we pick up this moment in which Jesus is being baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. The story goes like this. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son." Sorry, you can imagine Morgan Freeman if you want to at this point. "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him, I am well pleased." You see, in this moment, God stepped into the life of His Son. And He said these 3 things that every warrior needs to hear. That allows every warrior to grow into the warrior they were destined and created to be. What does God make clear? What lesson does God pass on to us? It's this. Every warrior first needs to hear, "I believe in you. I believe in you." Just in case you aren't sure if you can do it, I believe in you. I know you can do it. I see potential in you that right now you aren't seeing in yourself. I'm supporting you. I'll help you. You've got what it takes, and what you need to know is I am always on your team. I am always in your corner. I believe in you no matter what mistakes you make, no matter what you walk through, no matter what temptations you face. I believe you can do this. I believe you can be the best that I have created you to be. And spend your life, spend your marriage, spend your time parenting, chasing after what matters most and what's most important, not just in this life, but also what's most important for eternity. Every warrior needs to hear, I believe in you, but it doesn't stop there. Every warrior also needs to hear, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. In case anyone wants to know, you are mine. Nothing speaks pride quite like those three words. You are mine. You are my child. Whether it's your own child that you have given birth to, or I know this so well in the life of my own kids who have been adopted into my family, that the words they will need to hear throughout their life is this: I chose you. You are mine. No matter what your DNA says about you, you are fully mine, and nothing you ever do will ever separate you from me. I'm proud of who you are. God speaks this over his son in this coronation moment, but he doesn't stop there. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And no matter what, I'll always love you. No matter what, I will always love you. You see, the mistakes of our past always cloud the decisions of our future. But the easiest way for us to overcome the mistakes of our past, to walk into the future we were intended to live, is this, is to have someone speaking into our lives, I don't care about those things of your past. No matter what, I will always love you. No matter what, I will always walk with you through this. And there will be moments we don't see eye to eye. There will be moments we don't get along. There will be moments we enter into disagreements. But all of that doesn't matter, because I will always love you. And nothing you could ever do would ever cause me to walk away from you as my son, my daughter, my friend, whatever it may be. You see, all of us are called to pass this on in our lives to future warriors. And typically, for those of us in this room who are parents, as parents, we tend to take on two different roles in the lives of our kids. In a typical scenario, here's how it usually goes with us as parents. Mothers, you are incredibly gifted in most circumstances to be a nurturer, right? When I was a kid, the person that I would run to when I got hurt was my mother, because she was gifted as a nurturer, right? Moms, you are incredibly good that when we fall down and we scrape our knee, man, you grab us into our arms and you're like, oh, I'll kiss it, I'll make it better, I'll put the bandage on there, are you okay? And you hold us tight and you make us feel better. Dads, we're not gifted with that, are we? We're like, dude, rub some dirt on it. Get back out there. Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. But my mom was an incredibly gifted nurturer. My mom was the one that when anything happened to me, I knew she would take care of me. My mother was the one who, when I didn't believe in myself and what my future held, would come. And I can remember moments where my mom would sit on my bed, and I've shared this with you guys before. She told me the story of the time in which she learned that she was pregnant with me. And she was like, I was almost 40 years old. My first inclination was, God, what in the world are you doing? I am too old for this. His siblings are 9, 10, and 12 years older than him. This does not make sense. TMI, I was the 0.1% of birth control. Why would you allow this to happen? And my mom looked me in the eye and she said, as clear as day, I knew in that moment the reason why is because you were destined to do something special in this world. That's what my mom communicated over me. And every single one of us, as warriors, we need a nurturer in our lives. But it doesn't stop there. You know what else we need? We need words of affirmation. And when we look close enough and get honest enough, this is what we're forced to admit. That words of affirmation from a male voice are always just a little bit more powerful. They're just a little bit more meaningful. We love the nurturing side, but we also want to, from the males in our life, hear words of affirmation. And there's some of you sitting out there that are single mothers and you're having this thought, where does that leave me? I'm up a creek without a paddle. Because how do I bring those words of affirmation from a male voice? And can I just say this? This is why I love what I do. That's the reason why the local church is so important, is vital. It's because I, as a male, you, as a male in the local church, were meant to carry each other's burdens. And there are single mothers that are carrying burdens of not having a male voice in their kids' lives, and that's where we have an opportunity to fill the gap. Y'all okay? That's where we have an opportunity to not just say, well, I'm just pouring into my own kids and that's all I care about. No, we're the local church. We're supposed to be bigger and greater and better than that. We're supposed to look at their kids and say, man, I want to pour into their lives too. That's why being a male in Core Kids or being a male in Aftershock Student Ministries is so huge and so vital, because you as a male have an opportunity to speak something that is much needed into lives and hearts that are still in the development stages, that are still trying to figure out, does anybody believe in me? Is anybody proud of me? And will anybody love me no matter what? No matter what dumb mistakes I make in my life, do I always have a door that I can go and knock on no matter what? We get an opportunity to communicate that, men. Don't allow it to stop with your own kids. Be called enough and courageous enough to speak that into other kids who need to hear it. To speak belief in the younger siblings and grandsons and nephews and nieces and cousins. Speak into lives and the ripple effect will be immeasurable. In my household, there's this controversial story. That my dad was very good. I might have to measure my words next service because my mom will be here. My dad was very good at saying the right things in front of my mom and then saying different things behind closed doors. And one of those such things was this. In front of my mother, my dad would always say, you never, 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 ever, ever, ever fight. You never get in a fight. You always are the bigger person. You always turn and walk away. That's how you do it. And then behind closed doors, one day, my dad took me aside and he said, Ben, you never, 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 never fight. But if you have to fight, this is what you do. And my dad says, I'm going to equip you if that day ever comes. And he says, it's this. I don't care about you fighting fair. We're not fighting fair. We're here to fight to win if you get in that situation. And here's what you do. If somebody approaches you and they say it's time to fight, then you say, all right, you lead the way out. And you let them walk out the door first. And you follow right behind them as they are walking. And as soon as they turn around, you don't let them get ready. You don't let them put up their fists. As soon as they turn and face you, don't hit them in the teeth. Don't hit them in the chin. You hit them right between the eyes. You hit them right in the nose. And as soon as they're going to say they weren't crying, but as soon as the tears start coming out, the fight is already over before it began. That's what you do. And he looked at me behind closed doors and he said, Ben, I know you're small. I was the runt of the litter, all right? My brothers, my father, all 6'3". I'm lucky to scrape 6 foot. He said, Ben, I believe in that moment you can do it. You have what it takes now. You have what it takes to win. And from that day on, what I realized is this. It's because my father had instilled the battle plan in me, and because my father believed in me and said, now you have everything you need to win. Even if I didn't, Because my father believed in me, there was a different confidence in when that day came that I was equipped to be able to handle it, to do what I needed to do, to fight and win in that moment. And you see, there's this reality that in our lives, in the moments in which we face that voice of fear that keeps saying, you're not big enough, you can't do it, you're not good enough, there is one thing that trumps all of that. And you know what that one thing is? The voices from our past that have told us differently. Woo! That the voices from our past that have told us differently allow us to overcome the voice of fear. And we hear those voices louder than the voice of fear that wants to take us down a path we weren't meant to go. Those voices push us forward. It's the nurturing and the affirmation that allows us to stand up and fight against our insecurities, to move forward in the direction we need to go. This week, I went into my basement, into this box that I've kept. And at the top of this box is this letter. When I was a freshman in college, I came back home for a weekend. And on my bed was laying this folded up piece of paper. And as I opened it up, it was a letter from my dad. And it turned out to be the last letter that my dad had written me. For those of you who don't know my story, my freshman year of college, my dad was officially diagnosed with Alzheimer's. By the time I graduated college, right after I graduated college, my dad passed away from that. My dad, as I look back on my childhood, was like many of us as men. He was not always great at using words face to face to express his love to me. Right, guys, we express our love best by knocking each other down. Like when someone comes to me and they're like, how did a loser like you marry a stunner like that? Right? Guys, we're like, thank you, that's a compliment. Like that's how we speak our love to one another. And my dad was much the same way. He found it easiest to express his love to me by writing things down and passing them on to me. And in this last occurrence, my dad wrote on this piece of paper about a paragraph and a half. And up until this week, I read that letter and I came to the last half a paragraph and I always thought that like, oh, this is proof. My dad already had it bad. He was losing his mind. He didn't know what he was doing. He had forgotten where he was going because the second paragraph just gets cut off in the middle. But as I read that letter, here's what my dad wrote to me. Ben, I just want you to know how proud I am to have been your father. That every step along the way, it's been an absolute joy to journey through this life with you. And I want you to know that even though I won't be there to see it, that I'm proud of the man you'll become and the things that you'll do in this world. And it came to the middle of that second paragraph. And he wrote, this is what I want you to know. And I always thought, like, there's something hanging out there. Why'd the sentence end in the middle? My dad forgot what he wanted to say or what he was doing in that moment. The Alzheimer's had taken over and he got that out and then it was just done. And this week, as I reread that, I had this new epiphany come over me. That it wasn't cut off in the middle. That was the end of it because my dad was saying, that's all I need you to know. That's all I need you to know. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And I will always love you. And some of you are like, oh, Ben, that's great. I'm glad you had a good relationship with your father, but I didn't. My dad was a loser. And I get it. I understand. Maybe your dad was an alcoholic, or your dad was absent for some of your childhood, or your dad never spoke those things into your life. But you want to know how to answer question one, will I heal from this? Great relationships aren't born from a lack of wounds given to each other. Great relationships are born from an abundance of forgiveness. The way in which we heal best from the wounds of our past is to take the huge step of forgiveness, of forgiving our fathers, of forgiving our friends who have wounded us, of forgiving our mothers, of forgiving our bosses. Whatever it may be, where that wound was created, we take the step of forgiveness. And listen on this one. It's not even for them. Y'all, we get confused when we think forgiveness is for the other person. It's just as much for you. Because that wound is wielding power over your life and your future. And it's time to let go of that. Stop giving it power it doesn't deserve. And offer some forgiveness so that you can heal up. So that you can move forward. And I know, every family has some weird. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, my family doesn't have any weird, everybody else in your family knows that you are the weird in your family. Every family has dysfunction. Every family has wounds and hurt. But as warriors, we have been given the same power as Christ. The same power of the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead has been instilled in us. And with that power, we can be the bigger person who makes the right choices. And regardless of if they deserve it, we choose to forgive. Because we must heal the wound so that it doesn't sabotage every dream of our future. That's the step that we have to take. But we are also warriors who recognize every future warrior needs to hear those three things. And I'm going to be courageous enough to not hold back those three things from the future warriors in my life. I'm going to communicate. I believe in you. I'm going to communicate. I'm proud of you. I'm going to communicate. I'll always love you. Why? Your kids need it. My kids need it. And check this out, y'all. My kids desperately need it from you. Your kids desperately need it from me. Because we've talked about this before. If at no other point in their life is this evident, just go to teenage stage. And guess what? Even when you say, I believe in you, I'm proud of you, I love you, it'll still mean more from some other adult who isn't their parents when they're about 13 to 17 years old. Our kids need that courageousness out of us and us speaking that into their lives. And we always think, man, a true warrior is someone who wins his own battles and sets out on his own path to victory and conquers all these things in his own life. No, it's not. A true warrior isn't consumed with solely becoming a better warrior himself or herself. No. A true warrior desires to pour into others to make them great warriors. Are you pouring it out into somebody else? Paul sets the example. He writes this letter to Timothy, and basically he says, I've told you all of these things for your life, for your faith, for your future, that you know are true. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to then pass them on to others. Paul's setting an example here. True warriors pass it on, who pass it on, who pass it on, who pass it on. That's what we have been called to pass it on. You see, throughout this whole series, the message that I want us to hear is this. We are called to be warriors worth following. We are called to be warriors who stand firm. We are called to be warriors who are capable of looking the enemy in the eye and saying, Satan, you can't have my finances. Satan, you can't have my family. Satan, you can't have my future one day more. I'm taking it back in this moment. I'll fight against the distractions. I'll speak truth into the warriors coming after me. And I know you may not win every battle. But a warrior isn't a warrior because they win every battle. No, a warrior is a warrior because they keep fighting, standing on this hope that I may not win every battle, but in Christ, the war is already won. Hello, amen, y'all. That's what we stand on. That's the hope we carry with us. That's the courage that bubbles inside of us. It lies in that one truth. We have the ultimate warrior on our side who the war has already been won in his favor. So why are we getting so hung up on whether we win or lose every small battle along the way? We can be bigger. We can be better. That warrior is waiting to be brought out in you. And that warrior is waiting to be passed on to the ones coming after you. Would you pray with me? God, this morning, Father, we thank you for what a great God you are. And God, we thank you for pouring into us. Your son was really just the starting point. You speak that into our lives every single day. I believe in you. I see more in you than you see in yourself. I'm proud of you. You are mine. And nothing's going to change that. And I'll love you no matter what. Nothing you can do will cause me to love you any less or cause me to love you any more. God, you set an example. And now you're calling us as warriors to not be consumed solely with becoming the best warrior we can become. No, you're calling us to be warriors who pour into others to make them a warrior. For the men in this room, may we become courageous enough to speak words of affirmation into those who follow. To speak the words that need to be spoken, even when they kind of feel gushy and we're not really good at saying them. For the women in this room, may we see the inner warrior inside of us. And may we continue to speak the nurturing and the affirmation into our kids that they desperately need. God, we have it inside of us. And we'd be courageous enough to bring that warrior out. Satan, not one day more can you have my family. Not one day more can you have my finances. Not one day more can you have my future. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Today, we want to finish by celebrating just a little bit together. And we've got some exciting news that we wanted to share with you all of some things that are coming up around here. And there's really this one key that has really unlocked the future that we believe God has for us and that we are charging ahead towards, and that is this. In the last month, we have officially made the last payment on our property, and we are now a 100% debt-free church. Isn't that incredible? But as we think about that right now, there are going to be people that are going to be coming around and they're going to put something in your hands. As we think about that has taken place in this church, what we've always said is that we're not taking a next step into the future financially until we pay off this property and become debt-free at this property. And in knowing that we have done that, we have now taken this next step, some of you know this already, in which we have purchased two new properties that we'll be transitioning into over the course of the next 16 months. That will transform our footprint on this site from about 6,000 square feet to over 33,000 square feet at Dowds Elementary, will become Core Community Church, and over 37,000 square feet at Auburn Elementary that will become our Dream Center, our community outreach center right here for our city and for our world. And we could not be more stoked about this. But as we sit on the precipice of this coming to fruition in the next 16 months, we typically have two options that lay in front of us. Option number one is this. This is an opportunity for us to rest on our laurels. And we're not going to be in this building for much longer, so we just kick it into cruise control, and things are really going to go to the next level, and it's going to get fast, and the pace is going to go to a whole new level when we move into a new building and we launch a community outreach center. And so this is our opportunity to rest. Option number two is this. We have a message that is too good for us to ever rest. We have an opportunity that lies before us that we believe with all of our hearts is God-given, that He is calling every single one of us who call Core home to link arms in this moment and to take a stand that says, in this moment, I'm not resting, I'm not sitting back and waiting for the day. No, there's a message that still needs spread to a hurting and broken world, and I'm going to be a person who still invests and invites. I'm going to be a person right now who recognizes that we need to be running at that pace when we get to the new building. And so now is the time to start moving a little bit quicker. And I can rock a baby. I can do check-in. I can host and pass out weeklies at the door or stand out in the parking lot and smile and greet people. This is my moment where I'm going to pour my energy out into this world and into this place to make sure that that message is ready. Today and when there is a greater opportunity that lies in our future. And so today what we've given you is an energy bar. Because we want to challenge you to this. We are warriors. And we need every single warrior in this moment to step forward. And to begin to fight for what's most important. To begin to fight for what's best. And so we're asking you this. Would you link arms with us in this moment? Would you pray? Or just grab a red card right now and say, I'm tired of praying. It's just time to say yes. I'll fill out a card and I'll serve someplace. I'll jump in. I'll invest and invite. At the Movies is coming. Stand for Shelby is coming. There's an incredible series coming. I want to invest in somebody's life and I'm going to invite them to be here because the message isn't changing. Because we have a message that this world desperately needs. Would you put the energy in to fight with us? But we've also given you an energy bar for this. Because every single one of us have been given someone to protect. We've been given a kingdom to advance, and we've been given a battle to win. And this is your moment to eat the energy bar and to begin to fight the battles that you have been called to fight. For your family, for your finances, for your future. Next week, we kick off a brand new series called The Grudge. And we're going to be spending the month of July talking about a topic that is ridiculously difficult for many of us. How do I forgive? How do I let go of the grudges in my life so that I can move forward in a healthy way? And it's going to be a powerful series. It's going to be one you do not want to miss. I know next Sunday is July 4th, but a kickoff to this series is one that could rock your world and rock your future. And so we want to invite you to make sure that you are here next Sunday as we kick off that brand new series. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We hope to see you soon.